This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Follow the money.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
All right, getting ready for Canada and Qatar. We'll keep you up to date as they're ready to get started in Vancouver. And total of 2.5, Canada minus 370. And more on Mexico and South Korea coming up. We'll talk to the butcher, the meat man, Steve Wiss, later in the program. Pauly Howard and John Jastrzemski and JJ doing a great job. Coming off 4 hours covering the parade, lived up to the hype. He had the future ticket to back it up before the season. Knicks 15-1, and the 4 hours of coverage, and the Knicks get it done. And I think the highlight, JJ, was the guy ordering 100 sandwiches from Chick-fil-A right in the middle of it. What a tough assignment for the delivery guy.
I felt bad for this poor Chick-fil-A guy. Like, how do you not deny that Uber Eats request? Unless, of course, whoever ordered the ridiculous order of Chick-fil-A goes and tips handsomely. You go and tip handsomely, then you know what? The poor delivery guy gets his money's worth. But, I mean, would you want to be that guy or gal going through that scrum carrying Chick-fil-A to a bunch of drunk idiots on a parade? Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah, no kidding. That is a tough assignment. Unbelievable. Brutal. But excellent job by everyone involved, and they behaved themselves so far as well. Kelly Bidlin joins us now. From Long Shots and to talk a little golf. He's on the Progressive guest line. Oh, we can look at him either way. So a lot of surprises. I thought we'd see carnage because of the wind, and it appears it's died down a little, and the guys going out late have had some success. But a four-way tie at 2-under and an amateur among them with Schauffele, Clark, and Sam Stevens. Your thoughts, my man, on what's transpired thus far?
Yeah, good to be with you guys. Ryder Cowan up there, that amateur that is tied at 2-under, Paul. Yeah, it's been interesting, man. And this is where it always gets dangerous trying to handicap weather if you go too far.
Yeah.
I was trying to stay patient with that heading into yesterday, last night, and then I finally flipped open the weather last night, and I'm like, all right, like there's gonna be an advantage in the morning. Nobody saw a 2-hour fog delay come in here this morning, and that's really what has shifted everything. And yeah, we've got some guys going out in the afternoon that are scoring here now, Paul. It's still pretty windy out there. The sun's broken through a bit. The immediate post-round reaction from a lot of players is that these greens are far more receptive than what they've seen at this course in the past.
Yeah.
And I would expect that's probably going to change here over the next couple days. And they probably set it up that way on purpose, expecting some heavy winds. But I'm curious to see if this scoring this afternoon can really keep up. I would expect some of this to die off.
Okay, are there some guys that you want to fade going into tomorrow? Because we mentioned it earlier, Koepka had so many birdie opportunities, and I think we got to 2-under, or a chance, several chances to get to 2-under. Wheels came off, he's 3-over. Adam Scott, wheels came off, he's 3-over. Spahn had a horrible round. Are there guys that you want to fade tomorrow?
Yeah, there really are. I just pulled up some of these putting stats and who are these guys that can keep it going. You know, Sam Stevens, 2-under par, gained almost 3 strokes over the field with the putter. These are usually what we look to for regression. And it just like shooting in basketball, we look for those putters either to get better if they are traditionally better putters, or get a little bit worse if they're traditionally worse. So I would think he's going to come back to the pack a little bit. Meanwhile, like there's a Patrick Reed up there who putted well today, but that's what Patrick Reed does. So I don't really think he's a guy that you're going to see too much of a fall off with. That was the one that jumps out to me the most. Rory's up there too. I mean, he had the second best day putting, but Rory's a guy that can get the flat stick rolling for a tournament. So I'm not rushing to really look at that. We'll see if Gary Woodland can keep this round up. He's another guy who's, I liked heading into this week, but it's been all putting how he's been getting it done so far. I don't know if he's going to be able to keep it up with that club.
Kelly, I want to throw 4 names at you. I targeted them at the start of this tournament. Xander Schauffele, who's won the U.S. Open before. Patrick Reed, because I thought he'd play well in these sort of conditions. And, of course, like Shinnecock, I thought was kind of tailor-made to his game. And then I looked at Fitzpatrick and I looked at Fleetwood. I give you those 4. Obviously, Schauffele's off to the best start. But going into this thing, as far as how you felt about the 4 going into Shinnecock, who out of that group did you like the best?
Yeah, John, I'll tell you, I was actually the last at my last ad yesterday, and it was, I couldn't get over it yet. You kept hearing all the Xander stuff all week.
Yeah.
I mean, look, he's never finished worse than 14th at the U.S. Open. Well, his major record is ridiculous. I get it. We were looking at top 20s here in town at minus 110. That was kind of the bet I was primed to make last night. Just kind of started digging into some of his stats over the past few tournaments. It's just, you're not used to seeing Xander Schauffele struggle on approach, and he has for a couple tournaments heading into this, not severely, but a little bit. And it was enough. It was enough for me to take my attention off of him. And I'll tell you, John, it was Matt Fitzpatrick, who I have been high on, was very high on heading into this season, was able to make some really good money off him at the beginning of the year when he was playing really well. And this was kind of the first major where heading into it, I really didn't think I was going to have any interest in Matt Fitzpatrick, and ended up over the course of the days and research and pouring it in, loving Matt Fitzpatrick this week. So I ended up playing a top 20 play on him. So really, to answer your question, it would be Fitzpatrick going forward amongst that group. I think the Patrick Reed logic makes all the sense in the world. And just so much data-driven of betting that I'm doing. And Patrick Reed is just not playing that much right now. So I usually like to look for these guys that are in better recent form as they head into the major. So Patrick Reed didn't really check that box for me, but completely understand why you would be loving betting him this week.
So speaking of a golfer who's not played particularly well, that's Bryson DeChambeau, who has been embarrassing in these majors. He was awful at Augusta. He was awful at the PGA Championship. And Kelly, going into this thing, I want nothing to do with Bryson. Like, no thanks. I'm trying to fade him in matchups. I'm not taking him anywhere near top 10, top 5, and outright forget about it. That said, off to a hot start, gets to 2 under par, gives it back. Now he's at even. Were you selling a ton of Bryson stock as well for this particular tournament?
Yeah, it's one of those, you know, I think there's the difference, right, between not buying and actually selling, right? You can go and bet against these guys in matchups, and then there's guys you can just kind of stay away from. I would have said, John, if this was kind of what numbers that we had saw on Bryson a week ago, I mean, he was 14-15-1 for a U.S. Open a week and a half ago. If those were the numbers that we were dealing with and the appropriate numbers in matchup markets and stuff were there, yeah, I would have been targeting him. But he very quickly got long. I mean, he was near 30-1 at some shops when he teed off. So I think the number got to a place where it was appropriate, and honestly might have swung too far. I think I was one of those people that saw him make those couple birdies earlier, and it's like, we might have let this Bryson number go a little too far. He's still a very talented guy. I get it, doesn't have the form that we were usually looking for with golfers rolling into a major, plus not exactly the perfect course setup for his game, but still one of the class players in the world. There's always a number, right, fellas? There's always odds that you can drift a guy out far enough that he's going to become intriguing from a betting standpoint.
How do you feel about Scotty, who's 2 over and 10-1 to win it, 4 shots back?
Yeah, Paul, I like him. I was on him heading into the tournament, had to dial back bet size just a little bit because didn't know what we were going to get with the wind heading into today and the conditions this morning, this afternoon. Kind of glad I held back some, but I'll probably be looking to get back in on him live here at some point. I do think that he'll be okay going forward. I think it was tougher here this morning. I think we'll hear more from these guys as they get done with their rounds, why that was the case. I know the green speeds did catch up and surprise some of these guys here this morning and this afternoon. I think Scheffler will be okay, though. He was battling with it in the toughest of times with the rest of these guys. I think he'll be okay. He was still my top-rated guy, not even close heading into this. I know he doesn't have the wins this season, the one at the American Express back in January, but man, he is still by far the best statistical player on the face of the earth. And I thought him getting out to 6-1 was absurd. We haven't seen that number in years. So I couldn't lay off it then. I'm going to see where some of these books adjust things after the first round, but I might be back in on a little bit of Scotty after.
Morikawa, 1 under. He's through 8. Do you have, you want a mulligan on anybody or any regrets on what you did in the first round?
Well, you pointed out one. I mean, the couple regrets would be Siwoo Kim. I loaded up on Siwoo Kim. He's near the bottom of the leaderboard. That one was not good. But you brought up Morikawa. I'm glad you did, Paul, because he was a guy on injury watch. Him, Brooks Koepka, we had a few of these guys on injury watch. Now, if his live numbers are correlating to what we saw before the tournament, I think he's a perfect candidate to jump in live. I mean, what he was doing at the beginning of the season on approach, he was having the best approach season out there. So now he's had plenty of time to get back from this injury. It's just tough with golf. We don't get standardized injury reporting. We have to kind of take these guys' word for it and trust our own eyes with what we see. So he, I think, is a perfect live betting candidate this week. If you were interested in Morikawa at long numbers before the tournament, no problem waiting around round and a half to see how he's playing. Might get a worse price. Fine. You're more confident, though, in his health.
Excellent, my
Kelly,
man.
Kelly? Yeah. I'll tell you what's fascinating, too. McIlroy, now that he's won these back-to-back Masters, the pressure's off. He can play so free and loose. Yep. Like, that's a scary thing when you're talented as Rory McIlroy. Like, I didn't bet him. I didn't play him at all. He's got conditions that are similar to what he might get in Scotland or in Ireland. Just a little food for thought with the wind.
Oh, totally. Totally. I thought one of the other interesting stats heading into this tournament was a lot of people were talking about Cameron Smith. He had a couple good tournaments recently. And when you looked at best guys that were top five, both around the green and on putt in putting stats, Cameron Smith was one of them. The only other guy in this field was Rory McIlroy. And that is not something that we usually think about Rory with. So totally with you there, JJ. Watch out for Rory going forward. And hey, take it easy on Tyler Kolek. Why'd you have to call him out in the crowd today, man? Like, he's just a player.
Hey, listen, I feel for Tyler.
Poor guy.
You can't look like an Upper East Side frat bro. I mean, the poor officer's got to do a little more homework on the team. You know what I mean?
That too.
That's like one of the politicians. Great. One of the politicians today called Jalen Brunson Jalen Brown. It was not the New York City mayor, so I'm not going to roast Bonani. It was somebody else. I'm like, come on, man. You got to get it right. Let's go.
It's a bad beat. That Brutal. Is sick. Thanks, Kelly. Brutal. Enjoy the tournament.
Yep. Thanks, fellas.
Excellent. Sam Thanks, Stevens, Kelly. Wyndham Clark, 2-under. Rory, Harmon, a plethora of guys at 1-under. Aaron Rye, Morikawa, ton of guys still out there as well. Sam Stevens was 90-1. First round leader. See if he can get it done. The other two guys are still out there. Up next, the Yankees in action coming up. And this gal has taken a lot of abuse. She's putting up big numbers. I think it's time to jump in tonight. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on
VSiN. World Cup 15 minutes in. Canada and Qatar, no score. And we're getting ready for Mexico and South Korea. The meat man coming on in 15 minutes. Steve Wiss with a ton of picks coming up. And we're on the air live tomorrow for USA and Australia. Rory McIlroy, the favorite at the U.S. Open. John Rahm, the second choice at DraftKings. Scotty and Schauffele follow him. Kim Berger, Spahn, Day, Goddard, Cam Smith, and Hovland, brutal. Awful performances today and pretty much took themselves out of contention. Here with John Jastrzemski the next couple days, filling in for Mitch. Mr. New York, awesome. It's his day with the parade as the Knicks get it. Exercise the demons after 53 years. The parade was awesome, and he had a 15-1 ticket on the Knicks before the season started. Brunson saying, I told you so, and shutting up the critics today at City Hall. How about this tidbit you have, though? And I know we were talking before the show, but I can't imagine if you were a bookie in New York how bad you got buried and beat up that the Knicks closed 15-1 and covered almost every game, and the average margin, they set a record. But you have stuff, you have good data about what happened with the sports books out there.
Yeah, so this is courtesy of our friends over at Bleacher Report, BR Betting, and an old colleague of mine, Raheem the Dream Palmer, put this up on Instagram, and I'm scrolling through during the break, Paulie. And according to BR Betting, New York sportsbooks, so not, you know, Joe the Barber, not my guys down in Brighton Beach, you know, and now I'm talking about the legal guys, yeah. The FanDuels, the DraftKings, the Bet Rivers, the legal books in New York State. Lost 48.5 $1 million last week. And I'm sure a lot of it is due to NBA Finals and futures tickets that were getting paid out on the Knicks. And listen, my question to you is, you've been at this for forever. Huh? Are you surprised? Now, there's nothing you could have done in some of these spots because the Knicks were winning as a chunky underdog.
No, it didn't matter what the number was.
They were a chunky.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, though. Because do you think we will get to a point, though, with these books in certain states, like Philadelphia or in Pennsylvania with the Eagles, or, you know, Massachusetts with the Patriots, where you're just not going to get as juicy a money line or a spread as what you might get in Vegas or somewhere else? Or are these lines so numbers-based, it's not going to matter? They're not going to care about the handle?
What happened out here? The year the Vegas Golden Knights made the Stanley Cup final, I mean, that was, no one thought of it. It's like an expansion team, please. But they had huge numbers. They won the division, and they went to the Stanley Cup final, so obviously won the Western Conference. There was a local casino here that handed out future tickets as like a gift, like a sign-up bonus, and obviously those cast at absurd numbers. But with that, you have, think about it, NBA Finals to win the East, and then the 15-1 run, and then they were still like 35-1 after they were down 2-1 against Atlanta. But you hit on it. People bet what they want to see, and fan is short for fanatic. So it was you didn't care what the number was, and they set the record for average margin of victory. It was just not to mention what you could have done in play, because it was, every game followed the same script.
Oh my goodness!
Finals.
In some of these games, double digits. Such a great point. And Cavs, I didn't take advantage of that nearly enough.
Yeah.
Cavs game, Spurs games, you go on and on. You know what I equated them to, Paulie? And I made this point a lot. I like to roll the dice. I'm not saying it's necessarily a profitable decision, but like when I come out to Vegas or I go down to Atlantic City, I love playing craps. I get my energy going. I feed off the table.
Game.
It's just, it's a fun game to play. That's the way I look at it. This Knicks postseason run and the way they were winning these games felt like I was on the ultimate craps eater. And it just felt like no matter what the logic told me, I had to keep getting more money on the table. Like there were a couple of lines. I'll give you a perfect example. Game 3 when they played Philly. Every betting instinct I had told me Philly was the right side in the game. The market told you Philly was the right side of the game. I didn't care. I said, until the Knicks lose, I'm going to keep betting them.
Yeah.
Cleveland, same deal. Game 3, market moved. Cleveland was favored. Public was all over the Knicks. And normally I see this and I'm like, oh my God, this is a rat to the highest of heavens. This is a terrible, terrible bet. I shouldn't be doing this. They were the hot craps table though, Paulie. I couldn't walk away. Couldn't walk away. I had to keep getting more money on. I had to add the 4. I had to add the 6. I had to add another comeback. Like that's what I did with this Knicks playoff run. I just kept putting chips on the table until I couldn't do it no more.
Great point. Great comparison. To win 13 playoff games in a row. And to go 12-1 ATS there, and that's right. And then win 9 in a row on the road, it was ridiculous. So it just had everything where it's, I'm going to keep betting them till they lose. And then they're crushing teams. And then you even had the 2 epic comebacks. They were 80-1 in play in game 1 against Cleveland. And then the 30-1 in the finals against the Spurs. And the magical and the incredible happened there as well. So it's just a perfect storm there with what happened with sports books. Tonight, Yankees on fire. You're loving it. As I mentioned earlier, since 2024, 64-21 against the AL Central. Weathers is $1.75 at DraftKings. They're scoring 6 runs a game since Judge went out. Bellinger is 6-for-8 in the series. He's plus money to have 2 total bases tonight. White Sox starters, an ERA of 8 in June. Worst in MLB. Some props here. The over. What do you think tonight if the Yankees can keep this going and they've won 8 of 10 to open up a nice lead in the East over the Rays?
I'm not going to talk anybody out of the Yankees because you made the point about their dominance over the American League Central. And despite the fact that Chicago came into this series playing some great baseball, like I bet them at the beginning of the year to go and be an over, which I believe was in the mid 60s, Paulie, if I'm not mistaken, their win total. I could double check that. Maybe it was 70. I think it was in the 60s. They're going to go way over that. I think they're alive to make the postseason, but they've gotten humbled by the Yankees. I'm not talking anybody out of the Yankees tonight. I think the better play in this game is the over because the Yankee bats are red hot. Weathers has been giving up the long ball. And I know it's a crazy high total at 10. It is one of those hot summer nights in the Bronx. I think the ball is going to be flying out of Yankee Stadium. So for me, if I had to give you a play on Yankees and White Sox, not going to touch the side. I'll go with the total. Yankees, White Sox together, over 10.
Yep. You got Rice. Rice has been hot as well and what Bellinger's doing. And for the first time this year, the Phillies take on the Mets. Don't look now. Phillies only six back of the division. They've been so good since Mattingly took over and the Braves have lost 6 of 7. Total of 10, Nola against Manea. And he's only making his second start. Stott's got great numbers against him, going back career. And Bichette, as you mentioned, he's been hot. He's hitting .400 career against Nola. Nola, $1.25 against the Mets. What do you think tonight?
Don't like the Phillies in this spot. You nailed it, though, Paulie. They're playing some great, great baseball. They have gotten back into things since they made the managerial change. Hey, they got a one hell of a 1-2 punch with Christopher Sanchez and Zach Wheeler. Aaron Nola's not in that category. I think the Mets can get to Aaron Nola. I'll give you two plays in this game. Mets outright because they, historically speaking, have played well against the Phillies. Manaea throwing the ball better. But I want to add another play here. Let's add over 1.5 total bases for Bo Bichette,
yes,
who has been as hot as a firecracker. He's had 2 hits or more in like 6 or 7 consecutive games in a row. He's finally playing like the Bo Bichette we saw with the Toronto Blue Jays. So let's keep riding that wave. Mets outright, Bichette over 1.5 total bases.
Love it. Very good. Let me get this in quickly. Canada scored, by the way. 1-0, 22 minutes in. Canada on the board. One game in the WNBA tonight, all tickets cash the same. Atlanta Dream laying 1.5 against the Fever, 173.5 the total. I like it over. I think someone needs to do a better job helping her with her shot, especially from distance. Angel Reese is $2 to have a double-double tonight. She's $1.05 to have 15 points, and you look at the prop like 14.5 in some spots. 15 points, 17 rebounds. 25 points, 9 rebounds, 17 and 17, 18 and 17, 12 and 13. That's Angel Reese going back. But look at the last 3 games. 19 shot attempts, 22 shot attempts, 12 shot attempts. So, you know, at least getting aggressive and trying to take more shots, and it's got, you know, kind of a funky windup and delivery, but she is getting it done scoring. And everyone talks about the rebounds, and rightfully so, is she right there every year leading the league. But to have 15, 25, 17, and 18 points going back the last 4, and it's the attempts, to me, that's the big thing. And Fever don't play any defense, should be a high-scoring game. And I don't think it's crazy to ladder her as well, that this is an outrageous to think she can get 15 points and definitely go over her rebounds. 1-0 Canada, 24 minutes in. Against Qatar, Mexico and South Korea coming up. FIFA rankings, Mexico 13, South Korea 22. We got props on that match. We got picks with the USA, Australia. Steve Whistle, run it down, coming up next on Follow the Money. Paulie Howard, John Jastrzemski, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM, Channel 158. Plenty of picks coming at you next.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
All right, the under on life support early. Canada with another one, another banger. 2-0 against Qatar. And so far, the gotta have it games, these teams have showed up and shown out. Great performance by the Swiss earlier. They needed it. They won 4-1. And Canada leads 2-0 against Qatar. And it's in the 29th minute. Mexico and South Korea coming up. And for more on that, in USA and Australia, it's our friend Steve Wiss. Because we win pod every morning at 11 Eastern. They do a great job through the World Cup with our friend Nigel. Because we win, he's on the Progressive guest line, and he joins us now. Thanks for the time, my friend. And I'm shocked by all the goals, Steve. I can't believe I have both teams to score it now, 19-7. We know the story of the draws, which has been incredible. You're up 25 units blindly betting the draws. But I can't believe all the goals.
Yeah, I think one thing we do have to say is the defending's not been very good, has it, really, at times? I mean, Qatar here, I mean, Canada are rocking and rolling, and they could have had three or four by now. The defending's not been very good. There's been some good goals as well. I mean, look at that goal Bosnia scored earlier. An absolute banger. Mm-hmm. So at the minute, the offenses are on top, but I think a lot depends where the venue is. These indoor venues are tending to get a lot of goals in them, but you know, the heat's going to come in on the East Coast before the end of this tournament, and that's when we've got to watch out for maybe some unders.
Okay, interesting angle. More on that coming up. Well, how do you see Mexico and South Korea? They played last year. It was a 2-2 draw. What do you think here? And if total 2.5, obviously.
It's a tough game, actually. I'm kind of torn between the over-under. And on the money line options, it'd be Mexico or nothing for me, uh-huh. I think. But I'm passing on that. So I'm looking into the player props market for this game. And both teams have got a standout striker, Raul Jimenez for Mexico. He scored in the opening game. And then, of course, Son Heung-min for South Korea, formerly Tottenham Hotspur. And I think those two strikers could get on the scoreboard here. But let's just take them in an SGP to have over 0.5 shots on target each. So we don't need them to score. Just hit the target once each. And you're going to get plus money anywhere for this SGP, plus 115, actually. So I think that's a good way to go because we should get a decent offensive game, even if the goals don't flow. These guys should be hitting the target at least. Son had 6 shots in the first game, so we know he's shooting. And Raul Jimenez, he's going to be confident after netting in the opener. So I like that SGP here.
Steve, let's hit the United States. They look tremendous in their first World Cup game. They're at minus 170 against the Aussies. If you want a bit of draw, it's at plus 340. Do you expect the same sort of ease for Team USA in the second World Cup game, or is this going to be a far stiffer challenge?
I don't think it's going to be so easy, Jay, John. I think Australia are going to defend a lot better than what Paraguay did. They Australia are going to park the bus a bit and limit the space that the USA are going to have. And this is a big test for the manager, Maurizio Pochettino, who in the past has struggled to break down low blocks when he was at club management at PSG, at Spurs, and certainly at Chelsea, he struggled there. So I think the US fans are going to have to be patient. I think they will find a way to win the game in the end, and Australia might tire. USA are a very impressive physical team. They've got great engine and stamina. So with that in mind, I like a bet here in the corners market, actually, over 9.5 corners, with the main reason being that I think they're going to have a lot of pressure in the match, the US. It might take them some time to score a goal. That usually yields corners, shooting more, stretching the game out wide, and the Australian defending might be desperate to put it behind. So that's my angle here, over 9.5 corners at plus money. It'll probably maybe take the US an hour to score, eventually get the job done, maybe 1-0, 2-0.
Okay.
Paulie hit on this. The draws have been insane to start off this World Cup. And I have to be honest, I've been missing the boat on this. Is this one of these trends that I'm going to have to let go by and I missed the opportunity? Or do you think we can see a similar script in a lot of these games playing out over the next few where I can really capitalize and make some good winners and find some good cash here and a whole lot of plus money opportunities?
I think the problem is that as the group stage develops, teams will be more desperate where a draw is not good enough for them. So they're going to have to be more aggressive and go for the win. So we might have missed the boat. But what has changed with the dynamics is the third place teams qualify now. That never used to happen in the World Cup. Now, the first time they brought in the third place teams to qualify in the European Championships, I do believe 42% of the group games ended in a draw. So maybe we should have gone with that trend and backed the draws blind in the group stage. But perhaps that ship has slightly sailed now.
All right. Meet me on our guest, Steve Wiss, on the Progressive Guest Line. For All the Money, Visa and the Sports Betting Network. You came heavy. You have a ton of picks here. We got more to get to. So we start the day tomorrow with USA and Australia. Then it's Scotland and Morocco. How about Morocco at $1.30?
I'm taking them. I'm taking Morocco here. Best team in Africa, along with Senegal, against a Scotland team that only just beat Haiti. Haiti could have easily sneaked a draw out of that one. And Scotland have got the result they needed there. They got the win that should get them into the last 32. So I think now it's all about damage limitation for them. They don't mind losing a small match like 1-0, 2-0. And it's going to be in Foxborough tomorrow, 6 p.m. kickoff. It could be quite hot for the Scots, this one. It's not going to be later in the night like it was before. And I think Morocco have a big advantage there. So I'm taking a simple one, Morocco money line. I think anything minus 150 or better is a good bet.
Sounds good. After that, Brazil and Haiti, over 3.5 goals.
I think it's time Brazil entertained, isn't it? They've had a bit of criticism, not just in the first match, but in the build-up to the whole World Cup. They need to silence their doubters here. This is the chance to do it. I think Haiti are better than some people think, and they might even get a goal here because they might as well have a go. They've lost to Scotland now. The only chance they've got is they're going to have to beat Morocco or Brazil. They've got to swing hard, and I think Brazil have got the offense to really take them to the cleaners, as we say over here. So Brazil could cover the goal line on their own, over 3.5 goals at minus 125. And we know they're going to want to rack up the score. They're not just going to stop at 1-0 Brazil. So they're an entertaining team. Haiti might have got on the score sheet. A clear over for me.
How about the late match? Turkey and Paraguay. You want to go side and total here?
Yeah, two bets. I think we're going to get a bit of a crazy game, a really mental game, actually, because Turkey, when they're involved, you kind of get a lot of action, franticness. They've lost to the Aussies, so they're a bit like a corner dog here, Turkey, and I think they'll come out pretty hard biting, actually. Paraguay were really poor, weren't they, against the US? They're under a lot of pressure in this group now. They don't have a good record on US soil in the competitions they've had over here. Defense looked all over the place. So for me, Turkey win it. I think Turkey are a good bet at even money. And I think over 2.5 goals looks a banging bet, plus 120. This is one of it's the last kickoff in the day tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of these late games have had a lot of goals in them, Paulie. And I think it's nice conditions to have it. Both teams lost the opener. They've got to go for it. Probably Turkey winning, both teams to score, actually. But if Paraguay don't score, Turkey are capable of scoring three on their own. So yeah, go for everything overs in this game. Offense, Turkey, get the job done for me.
Okay, Steve, I have a ticket on the Dutch to go and win this World Cup. It's a juicy price. I know it's asking a lot. They're not one of the favorites, but they're always a factor in this thing. Against the Swedes on Saturday, the Dutch at minus 135, the Swedes juicy, plus 370, and a draw plus 280. Any thoughts on the Netherlands and Sweden Saturday in the afternoon?
I think this could be one of your draws, John. A draw would be a good result for Sweden. And I think the Netherlands have got a nice match to finish with in the group against Tunisia. So this could be actually, I don't know if it's going to be high scoring or low scoring. If it was 0-0 or 2-2, I'm not going to be surprised either way. But I think both teams cancel each other out. And you could get a bit of value back in that draw in this one.
He had a great point before the interview about the weather and how you touched on it briefly. But how do you think that's going to impact some of these teams once we get the hot weather?
I think it's going to slow down the pace of the game. That's the problem, because some teams are not used to the hot weather. I think the only real time I've seen a huge factor of it was Belgium, actually, against Egypt. It was an unusually hot day in Seattle. I think the warmest day they had there in like 30 years this time of year. And Belgium really suffered. They were, they were baked. So
yeah.
I think it's going to take anything sort of in the, when we get to in the 90s, that's when these European teams or the teams that are not used to such a heat could struggle, slow the pace of the game down. And for me, that's when we don't get as many goals. That's how I see it there. That's when the unders might strike.
Thanks, my man. We'll be watching the podcast. Thanks for a few good minutes. We'll catch up with you soon. Good luck.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Take care. See you soon.
Steve Wiss on the Progressive Guest Line. Because We Win Pod every morning at 11 Eastern. Gets the day started with Nigel with the World Cup. One more pick Sunday morning. Belgium, Iran over 2.5 goals he likes as well. Fireworks early. 2-0 Canada. 40 minutes in. And a man sent off. A red card for Qatar. So it's all over but the crying here in this one from Vancouver. Up next, what we're betting. JJ, give us some good baseball plays. And with a New York angle and a New York state of mind, plus a special visit from Luke, the producer. He's got a great article up at VSiN.com. He's going to run down all his bets and recommend how to play USA tomorrow, coming up on Follow the Money.
algorithm to determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it. Take it.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're on.
JJ, you're up first.
Start us off, buddy.
Wow, I get the tee box. See, yes. I did not want to spoil the party. I did not know if I had to bring it back coming from break. Shame on me. I apologize for the awkward silence. I got two plays for you in Major League Baseball. And I want to remind everybody today, it is a very limited card for us coming on doing Follow the Money because had a lot of afternoon baseball. Mm-hmm. A lot of the World Cup games already have happened. The golf has already happened. So I just wanted to keep it short and sweet. Two games in Major League Baseball. Mets mentioned the fact that they, historically speaking, have played well against the Phillies. Manaea throwing the ball better. Nola has been awful. Let's take the Mets plus money. And if you want a bonus play there, Bo Bichette, who's been red hot, over 1.5 total bases. So Mets money line plus 103, official pick number one. And then official pick number two, guys, it is a hot, scorching summer night in the Bronx. Ryan Weathers has been giving up a ton of home runs. Chicago can hit some home runs. The Yankee lineup has been really, really effective, even in the absence of Aaron Judge. Met, money line, Yankee, White Sox over 9.5. 2-for-2, back-to-back, belly-to-belly. Let's cash them both.
Yes, let's do it. Good luck. Heating up at the U.S. Open. Wyndham Clark, your leader, 3-under through 10. Sam Stevens finished at 2-under. John Rahm, 2-under through 8. Rory, Harmon, DJ, all 1-under. And it's interesting how the wind has wreaked havoc, but I thought I wouldn't see these kind of scores. So Wyndham Clark, now your leader through 10. All right, Ghana, Panama. Bet the nil-nil, thought it'd be nil-nil, had all the makings. I would have given up if that went over. And Ghana scores in the 94th minute, 1-0, as that stays under 2.5, and that should the nil-nil detector should have been out for that one. And Switzerland, $1.75, no problems against Bosnia. As Sal Pal would say, gotta have it game. They won 4-1, and again, the BTTS cast, so 2-0 there. Let's keep it going with the soccer and some other plays. Mexico, South Korea under 2.5 coming up. Own goals under 10.5 for the tournament. We're already at 5. It's squeaky bum time. Iraq, fewest goals in the tournament, 8-1. And games to go to penalty shootouts over 4.5. That's the pending. The new plays, Fever and Dream over 173.5 tonight. A good one. Pick them here at Circa. And the Angel Reese props again, too. If you want to ladder her, she's been incredible. I ran it down earlier, and I'm with the meat man. Morocco, $1.30 against Scotland. Boy, they get after it, their fans. Drinking these Boston pubs out of lager and out of beer. And another goal. Is that going to count? Oh, mercy. It's 3-0 Canada. Miss is going to be an ambush job here. This could get...
Boy, I'm telling you right now, I'm tailing you on Morocco.
Yeah.
I'm going to tail that Morocco
that
play.
Yep, like that as well. And Canada scores again. This could get ugly. Hide the women and children. 3-0 and Cutter's a man down. This could get bad. Okay, good luck, everyone. Luke, take it away. A nice article you have up on VSiN.com. It's going to be pandemonium and bedlam when we're on the air tomorrow. The book here at Circus sold out. USA Australia from Seattle at noon. And we come on at halftime, and then we get to react to what happens. A lot of this stuff is correlated. It makes sense. Run down what you suggest and what you recommend and what you bet.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was super impressed with how the U.S. looked in that first match. Obviously, we saw a high-scoring game. And, I mean, we just were talking to Steve in the break. He said it was one of the best games he saw from England in recent years. I mean, I thought it was the same for the U.S. It was
no doubt.
It was not like a normal USA soccer match. So they're definitely opening it up. Balogun is an elite striker, a striker the U.S. has not had maybe in my lifetime. So I'm starting off with him, first goal scorer. I think that's the only way the U.S. is going to be creating offense is through him, and he's going to have the most chances. So I will go Balogun first scorer. I'm going to go USA money line and the team total over 1.5. I know Australia likes to kind of slow it down and play a little bit of a lockdown style, but again, I think the U.S. scores early and is able to open it up. And I love this angle, too, the both teams scoring in over 2.5. Again, I think people think maybe a little bit under on the U.S., these games in general with Australia not being able to score. But I think we still are going to see goals from each side. Our goalkeeping is not as strong as it's been in U.S. history. It's Freese, who's a Sporting KC goaltender. So there's definitely a possibility for Australia to get one by. So I like those three bets. The plus 470 on Balogun first goal, anytime you could do, we've talked about. The other night, I actually did the shots on target ladder live during that first game.
Yeah.
I noticed he was creating a lot of chances. He had an offsides on the first goal originally. So I was on FanDuel at the time, and I think I got 3+ shots on target at close to 450 and did the same with 4. He got 3. So his shots on target ladder, not the worst either, but those are my three bets in that. And then tonight, real quick, Mexico win or draw combined with the under 2.5. Gives you the 1-0, 1-1, or 2-0 option in that game. But yeah, the article's up right now, VSiN.com.
Excellent. I like what Alex is doing, too, with the correlation stuff, where I want my team to win, and I'll go over the 1.5 team total. And a lot of that stuff's available. I know Jonathan Davis did some stuff like that in the Stanley Cup Finals with plus 2.5, with over 4.5, and it got there in every game but one. Football season may still be months away, but we're prepping and ready to go. Our NFL betting guide comes out next week. TAC futures, win totals, division races, upcoming season. Lock in the early bird pricing on our football special. Just $175. Be among the first to get the guide when it drops next week. Sooner you sign up, more value you get. Full access to everything we do across every sport. Through the Super Bowl, every best bet, every host, every guest. Real-time betting splits from DK and Circa. AI-powered prop tools. 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app and more. VSiN.com/subscribe now. VSiN.com/subscribe. Get it now. It's your day, JJ. Excellent. You get to brag. The parade lived up to the hype. Had your ticket. Oh, 2-0 Mets already in the first. See if Bichette did some damage. But you had the 15-1 ticket as well. How about overrated, underrated in New York City? Because I know Paul Bovey is not a Times Square guy, but when I went there, there were cops everywhere the last time when we went going out to Foxwoods. How about a couple overrated, underrated items in New York City?
Oh, my goodness. Times Square is so overrated. I can't stand it. Yeah. I never step foot in Times Square. And it has nothing to do with safety. It's plenty safe. It's just not for New Yorkers. Like, I think that's the best way to describe it. Like, if you live in New York, you don't go to Times Square. I'd give you the Brooklyn Bridge Promenade. That is underrated. So you wanted an underrated spot? That is an underrated spot. You want another overrated spot? Oh goodness. I'm not going to say the restaurant. Underrated, underrated. Joe and Pat's Pizza in my neck of the woods on Staten Island, the Forgotten Borough. Yep. There's another underrated spot for you. Not quite in the heart of Manhattan, but I got to show my borough a little bit of love. What I'm dying to know though, we got Luke on set here, Mr. Soccer. Mm-hmm. Luke, is this the best United States team of your lifetime?
I mean, definitely since I've been consciously watching, for sure. Yeah. I mean, the first World Cup I ever remember was Italy in 06. And I've been watching ever since then, just international soccer. But yeah, this team, I mean, again, it's only one game. I don't want to get too crazy. It's Paraguay. I know people thought they'd be tenacious and keep it close. So it was exciting to see that much offense and see a guy with that much talent in Balogun. I mean, it's crazy. We've wanted a guy like this for forever, it seems like.
Scoring. That's the big thing.
Yes.
You know, it's one thing if we come out.
I agree.
Yeah.
Scoring.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I was stunned by that. And to be up 3-0 in the first half. Incredible. Not to mention how important goal differential is. So we win tomorrow. We're going to get the group. And then that's going to be fantastic if that happens. And then we play Turkey Thursday night back. And Inglewood, always up to no good. So that's what blew me away, the 4-1 win and how good he is. So excellent tomorrow, and we're looking forward to it to come on the air at halftime and then recap what happens afterwards. And fingers crossed, we need a big trade in the NBA tonight or tomorrow. Let's go with the Giannis stuff. Come on, Milwaukee. Bleep or get off the pot. Let's go. Make the move.
Miami's, it's coming, Paulie. I don't know if it's coming by the end of the week, but it's coming.
Yeah.
It's a question of when, not if.
Got it, because we got the draft Tuesday. And they got to get that lottery pick, and that Miami pick is 13, so they got to know what they're going to do. So let's wrap it up here as well. Great job, JJ. Great job with the parade. Great job, Real or Fugazi. A lot of fun. Good baseball card already. 2-0 Mets as well. Tomorrow, kick it off. VSiN by the books. Coming up with Jensen and Dave. Numbers game with Gil and Kelly. Plenty to get into. Good MLB card, soccer. And hopefully some NBA news as well. And round two of the U.S. Open. Again, Wyndham Clark, your leader. 3-under through 10. Cash some tickets. Good luck. Keep it locked. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.